Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 18. I can't believe we've done 18 of these already. Well, we've done 17 of them. We're about to do 18. And we're here to make picks for UFC 299 coming up this weekend in Miami, Florida. Before we get into that, let me introduce from all the way across town, Matt the Mechanic, who's going to make all the picks. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
It's going, man.
Hey, do you have any picks tonight or bets tonight? I got a bet on the under on the State of the Union.
What's the under?
61 and a half minutes. I was watching. I was looking up the odds for the fights tonight and saw that you could bet on that. And I was like, oh, what the hell? I don't know who the hell can talk for that long. I'll take the under.
I can.
Well, you can.
I do it every week.
But the problem with the State of the Union is I always do the dumb clapping in between it, which makes me turn it off.
I wish I had people clapping on this show.
That'd be fun. I don't know. Fiverr would be pretty cheap.
Can you start getting some canned laughter?
Yeah, I can do that. Laugh track.
I need somebody besides me to laugh at my jokes. But let's start with the hot take.
Well, you're going to go right in, huh?
Yeah. Let's do it, because you wanted me to pick the hot take this week.
All right.
So it's hot take or take a shot. So
I think I know what it is, and I brought some backup.
Okay, good, because I think you're going to be drinking on this one. So today, a fight was announced.
I was right.
Between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. That's going to be in June or July or something, streaming on Netflix. My hot take is, not only is this a horrible fight, but I think we, as fight fans, need to protest this by plummeting the Netflix stock and canceling Netflix subscriptions. And I've already done it before this fight was announced, and I'm glad I did. So I think my Netflix ends this week. And it's perfect timing, because this sideshow has gone on long enough. Like, it's enough with this nonsense. Mike Tyson is 57 years old. There's only a few results that can come out of this, and none of them are good. Even if Mike Tyson knocks out Jake Paul, Jake Paul has no business being in there with Mike Tyson, who's a legend of boxing. The most likely thing that's going to happen is this fight is rigged and it's going to result in a draw, or this fight is rigged and it's going to be like a close decision for Mike Tyson. I don't think they're going to rig it so that Jake Paul gets over on Mike Tyson, but I mean, it's basically like gambling on WWE at this point. So that's my hot take.
Hold on, we forgot to introduce a segment here. Hold on. Oh. I'll play the clip and then you give me your hot take. Shot, 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 shot. Everybody! All right.
So the hot take is, not only does this fight announcement suck, but everybody should cancel their Netflix subscriptions to let Netflix know that this sucks.
Well, this isn't a fight, for one. This is I have trouble with this word. Exhibition.
There you go.
There's none of this press release, there was the word fight put on any of it. These are not new. I mean, I've looked up, there's been exhibitions since, you know, they were very popular in the 20s and 30s, and they kind of died down and came back in the 80s. It's free. Well, it's not free, but it doesn't cost. It's not a pay-per-view. They're not trying to take people's extra money. It's going to get more eyes on boxing. It's in a huge ass arena. It's going to sell a ton of tickets. And I know you're saying it's not boxing, but this is an event where a lot of parents are going to be able to sit with their kids and they don't know that the fix is in. Well, they might, but they get to see, you know, Mike Tyson, their hero, fight the kid's hero. And I don't see what the problem is.
So since it's an exhibition, that means there can't be gambling on it.
Correct.
Which means it's definitely rigged.
Well, it's not. I don't think they're necessarily rigged. I just don't think there's a winner.
Right.
It's they're showcasing their sport, their skills.
But
and furthermore, I don't really think Paul gives a fuck. I think he's on a side quest to prove something to himself, and him finally getting Mike Tyson to step up to him is enough for him. Now, he did fight last week. Did you even see that or know that it was happening?
I saw the clip. It looked like the guy he was fighting took a dive.
Yeah, well, it's not great sports competition, but I bet it will be the biggest sporting event of the year.
So what I saw was the guy hit Jake Paul and then apologize. And then the next thing, the guy's knocked out cold from like a glancing blow.
Well.
So like what, but what are we doing here with this? Like what's the end result? Like, what is this? Because if you're promoting a sport,
this is the end result.
So then this is it. Is this the end of the saga? Can we have enough of this shit after this exhibition?
Well, I mean, enough of this shit. You don't watch it, so why do you care?
Because I think it damages the integrity of boxing. Not that I care that much about boxing, but like eventually, are we gonna see this in MMA down the line? That's what I'm really ultimately worried about. Like, we're gonna have like a 60-year-old MMA fighter come out of retirement to fight some like young kid just because he has a lot of money and he can do whatever he wants?
I don't think so. Like I said, this is, you know, Jack Johnson did a lot of these. So, I mean, I know Holyfield did a lot of these. I don't know. I saw although I find that funny, the clip, the guy saying, what's he saying? What you put on the YouTube short?
Oh, he's like, ugh.
Yeah, that's
what
great.
What is this?
I don't know. When I saw it, it made me smile, but I happen to be a fan of, I'm not going to say a fan of like Jake Paul's boxing. I just like it when guys pick something that they want to do and don't really care that there's people all around the world like you complaining about it. And to him, I know this is the top.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I get that a lot of what he's doing is like, I want to do what I want so bad and I want people to be mad about it. I get that. And I can respect that. I'm not really mad about it. I'm just having a little fun with this. I really couldn't care less. I don't watch his fights. I don't follow the stuff that he does, his antics and things like that. I'm really just bringing it up because it's relevant and it's a hot topic right now.
It's definitely relevant. I mean, the water cooler was hot with talk about this. It's been all UFC 299 this week, but this definitely took over today.
Yeah, it's just not interesting to me. I wasn't even interested with the Mike Tyson and Roy Jones exhibition. I just like it doesn't make any sense to me. Like Mike Tyson has nothing to prove. He doesn't need to be competing anymore. Like, I don't need to see that, especially like the Roy Jones thing didn't make any sense. They never fought in the same weight class. I get there's a lot of nostalgia involved, but I mean, I'm also coming from a place where I saw Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz 3. And that was just heartbreaking to watch, to see Chuck Liddell kind of like stumbling in there and not being able to defend himself. And that was a 40-something-year-old Chuck Liddell. It takes the enjoyment out of it for me to see things like that. And and not that Mike Tyson isn't capable of getting in there and competing with Jake Paul. I just don't want this to be a thing where we're putting these older guys in there. You know, where does it end? Are we going to start bringing these guys out in wheelchairs to the ring so they can like get in there and box in wheelchairs? You know, like it's enough. Like, he did his thing. Mike Tyson's a legend. Let's leave it at that. He's successful now. He doesn't need money. He's making plenty of money off his weed thing. Like, why do we need to be doing this? Then we're going to have other old guys asking for these fights for a payday. I don't like where it could potentially go.
You don't like gimmicks.
Yeah. And I don't like seeing something that should be a serious competition, like boxing under the Queensbury rules, it being done like just for fun. And so some people could make money off of it. And I understand some people do like that, and that's fine. They'll watch it and I won't, but I'm thinking long-term here. Like, what kind of damage is this going to do long-term? Are we going to see other boxers come out of retirement and think they could do stuff like this and go in there and get hurt? I don't think Mike Tyson's going to get hurt, but it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
I see what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to go that far. I mean, like I said, this has been going on for over 100 years. It just so happens that, it's not all these old fighters are doing it, but Mike Tyson and Jake Paul can pull this off. There's only one Mike Tyson. I don't know what other old boxer could come out of retirement and do how popular this is going to be.
Well, Shannon Briggs is coming out of retirement to fight Rampage Jackson.
Well, yeah, but this is a casual fan event. Mm-hmm. This is not, only the hardcores are going to be interested in Shannon Briggs. This is Mike Tyson,
True. But by the same token, look what happened when we let Conor McGregor box Floyd Mayweather. Now, then we had to have 5 years of MMA fighters asking for boxing matches in something that it's like pointless. I understand they want to make money, but it's just like something that it's a road that leads to nowhere.
So who's taking a shot? I think we both did. Both can.
Fuck. I only have one left. All right. This is my last shot.
I went out and bought one, so I didn't have to take my one.
Why? What's the one you don't want to take?
Rumple Mints.
Oh, this is the one I've been not wanting to take. This is the strawberry cream tequila.
Oh.
This sounds
disgusting. I'm sure you've had one of those at your parties.
No, I've never had this. All right, you go first because I'm sticking to my guns on this one. Ugh. So you at least take the shot first.
This takes, smells like, what's that called where your grandma puts the shit in the crock pot? Sets it out and lets it like fruit and potpourri.
What is this you're drinking?
It's a New Amsterdam grapefruit.
Oh, I do not like grapefruit.
I actually like grapefruit, and I for a couple several years when I was fat, I couldn't eat it because I was on a blood pressure medication. Oh, that was the greatest thing. He's like, the doctor's like, you don't have to take it anymore. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna do some grapefruit. But here we go.
All right.
Probably tastes like the potpourri too.
Is it gin? Because you said it's New Amsterdam.
Oh, I don't know. Ooh, that might be one. I don't know.
You should have had to drink the Rumple Mints for supporting this trash. All right, here we go. Tequila Rose, strawberry cream tequila. This is going to be nasty.
That could be a problem. Doesn't say what it is.
Well, New Amsterdam is gin, I'm pretty sure. I'm like a little grossed out that this is cream.
But at least it's like 30 proof, right?
I don't care about the proof. I drink 130 proof whiskey regularly. I care about my taste buds. I don't worry about
you drink high quality, high proof, not high proof cheap shit.
Yeah, but I'd rather drink cheap high proof whiskey than low proof stuff that tastes like shit. All right, here we go. Oh, it tastes like strawberry Nesquik and bubblegum. It's disgusting. Oh, that is awful. Don't ever drink this shit, folks. All right.
There's one more boxing thing. We're talking about boxing. There is a real boxing match tomorrow. And that's, do you know what it is?
Is it Ngannou and Anthony Joshua?
Yep. It's sometime tomorrow. I don't know when.
Yeah. I don't know. I lost interest in boxing a long time ago, and it was kind of before all the gimmicky stuff even started happening. I watched the Ngannou Fury fight, but I watched it like a week later. I didn't watch it live. I definitely won't watch this one live because I will plan to be at CFFC tomorrow night in Tampa.
I think it's like at 10 in the morning.
Oh, is it? Well, I definitely won't be watching it then. Man, that strawberry cream stuff is gross. All right, let's get into I need to wash this down. Let me ask you a question, Matt. How do you feel about Black Bush?
Black Bush?
Oh. Yeah, it's what I happen to be drinking right now. This is Bushmills Black Bush. This is Irish whiskey, and it's aged in sherry casks. So it'll help kind of drown out the flavor of that nasty cream tequila, because the sherry cask gives the whiskey kind of like a fruity flavor. It's kind of like a Highland Scotch. Anyway, Sláinte.
It's pay-per-view week, so
I'm glad I didn't let you answer the Black Bush question.
Yeah, I just shut up. My drink of the night is E.H. Taylor because it's pay-per-view week.
And you only crack that bottle for pay-per-view weeks.
For our show on pay-per-view weeks. Make That's it something fair. Special. It's my favorite bourbon and I can't find it, so I gotta set some limits.
Yeah, I'm going to be hunting for it next week because I'm going to be driving upstate, like pretty close to Georgia. So I'm going to be looking for some E.H. Taylor and some other things while I'm there. But it is a pay-per-view week indeed. UFC 299, Miami, Florida, at the Cassia Center?
I think it's where the Dolphins play. Not the Dolphins, the Heat.
The Miami Heat. Are they any good?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
They were right. When LeBron played there.
So we're gonna start at the bottom of the main card this time. So heavyweight matchup between Curtis Blaydes and Jailton Almeida. I don't know how to feel about this one. I'm definitely on the Jailton Almeida hype train. I didn't think he was going to be able to take Derek Lewis down, and he had no problem taking Derek Lewis down. Couldn't finish him, but was able to hold him down, beat him up for 5 rounds.
How long did he have mount for?
Oh, he had it for like 4 minutes at one point.
Yeah. I bet the Brazilian wasn't happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, but like, has anybody submitted Derek Lewis?
I don't know.
I think somebody has, but in any case, it's going to be really hard for him to take Curtis Blaydes down. Like, he's going to have to pull guard against Curtis Blaydes, I think. Curtis Blaydes is one of the best wrestlers ever at heavyweight. DC submitted Derek Lewis, according to Mark. All right, so what are the odds and who do you got?
It's pick 'em -110 for Blaydes, -120 for Almeida.
Makes sense.
I'm gonna take Blaydes. Like you said, I don't think he can take him down. And Almeida's strength seems to be not necessarily perfect jiu-jitsu technique on the ground, but more or less strength and and brute force. I don't see the fight getting there, so I'm gonna take Blaydes.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not a bad pick. My only worry with that pick is that Almeida just seems to win. Like, he seems to find ways to win. I don't know that he'll pull guard, but his jiu-jitsu is really good. It is concerning that he couldn't finish Derek Lewis over five rounds, but yeah, it's not a bad pick.
I mean, this might be some yard chair quarterbacking for me, but I don't think his jiu-jitsu is good is a correct statement. I think it's he definitely has some jiu-jitsu, but he also is very strong.
That's true. That's a fair statement. But strength matters in jiu-jitsu. Craig Jones said it.
It matters, but I mean, I don't think Curtis Blaydes is lacking in the strength department either.
That's true. All right. Yeah, I like that pick. All right. Peter Yan and Yadong Song, bantamweight match. Peter Yan, just what a fall from grace this guy's had. I mean, it seemed like he was going to reign over this division for a long time. It reminded me of like when Luke Rockhold became middleweight champion. It's like, holy shit, who's going to beat this guy? And then his career was pretty much over.
Yeah.
After that. So Peter Yan just having a rough go of it, man. And now he got manhandled by Merab in his last fight. And now he's going against Yadong Song, who trains with the Team Alpha Male guys. So, you know, he can wrestle. He's good everywhere. What are the odds? And do you think Peter Yan can bounce back? I mean, this is a tough test for a guy who fell pretty far from grace.
Yan is a minus 145 and Yadong is plus 100. It seems crazy that I'm about to pick the fourth straight loss for Yan, but seems something went wrong with his camp or something went wrong. I think Yadong is on the coming up. He definitely has a speed advantage and I think he's going to end up getting the win.
It seems like Yadong Song has been around a lot longer than he has been because he's only 26. His only recent loss was to Corey Sandhagen. And that was a cut, right? He got cut open in that one?
No.
I don't remember. All right. Yeah, we're actually pretty well aligned on the picks so far. This is an interesting one. Gilbert Burns, Jack Della Maddalena. The theme of this card is kind of like...
I was thinking of it. It's the changing of the guard is what...
Yeah, that's what they should call it. UFC 299. Well, it'd be wrong to call it changing of the guard because then that assumes that all the young guys are going to win.
Well, that's what they want, except for the main event.
Sure, but I can't. They can't come out and promote it like, this is the changing of the guard. Come watch these old guys get their asses beat.
Well, that's what I'm going to call it. Steal that, Anik and Florin.
You weren't a fan back in the day when every pay-per-view used to have like a name.
No, I wasn't a fan. I find the number silly myself, but
yeah, I mean, it's just to keep track.
Well, the NFL doesn't.
It used to be like UFC 39, undisputed or unbreakable.
I think I remember seeing it. We didn't have Blockbuster. We had Family Video, and they had some of those tapes or DVDs.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I seem to remember seeing that.
Yeah, so they all used to have a name. Then they started getting lazy, and it would just be like the name of the main event. It would be like Ortiz Liddell 2, UFC 37, or whatever it was. So Jack Della Maddalena, who came into the UFC with a lot of heat, and he was just knocking dudes out. Then as the competition started to get higher, he was having more of a hard time. Didn't look great in the Kevin Holland fight.
I remember thinking he lost that fight.
Yeah, it was not a good look. I mean, it wasn't a great fight. So like whoever won, it was like whatever. So he got away with the split decision. Now he's taking another, because he got the win, he's taking another jump up in competition here against Gilbert Burns, Gilbert Burns is one of my favorite fighters just for the fact that this guy is so game for anything. Like, oh, you want me to fight a former teammate for a championship? Yeah, cool. ADCC trials are in 2 weeks after that. Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, there's a local jiu-jitsu tournament. Yeah, I'll do that too. Gilbert Burns is just like the most game guy. And he just seems like such a nice dude. But, you know, he's getting up there in years. And Della Maddalena's got some serious hands. And Gilbert Burns, 37 years old now. But if you look at it, the only people Gilbert Burns has lost to recently have been really strong wrestlers. Kamaru Usman, Khamzat Chimaev, and Bilal Muhammad. All right, what are the odds and who you got?
The odds of Gilbert is plus 130, Jack Della Maddalena minus 170. So when I started looking at this fight, I thought back to last week where you were talking about the step up in competition for Gazeev against Rozenstruik. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, there's a 10-year age difference. This is the welterweight division that has that crazy stat about people over 34 becoming champions or, you know, whatever that, I don't have that nailed down.
Yeah.
I don't see Jack taking Gilbert down, but Jack has a lot of fight performance of the night knockouts. So I'm going to take Jack with this one.
Do you see Gilbert taking Jack down?
Maybe.
I think he's got the wrestling to do it.
I mean, this is one of my underdogs that I was thinking about picking, but I don't know. Something made me change my mind midweek about when I was listening to Gilbert doing an interview and he was talking a lot about what he's doing after his career. And that just doesn't.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. I still like Gilbert Burns in this one.
Cool.
But I don't know if I like him enough to do like a side bet. Let's see. Let's have at least like one side bet a week. I don't know if it to be this.
We're not done yet.
Yeah, so far this is the only one I don't agree with. All right, Michael Venom Page making his UFC debut against Kevin Holland. This fight would have been so awesome, like even 3 years ago. I feel like a lot of the wind has been taken out of the sails since Michael Venom Page got knocked out in Bellator, and then he got his ass handed to him by Mike Perry in bare knuckle. It's just not as exciting as it could be, because I think this would have been a great debut fight for him when he was like at his peak. But, and I am excited for this fight, but I just feel like there's something lacking. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe because Kevin Holland's been so quiet too, when normally, you know, he's such a chatterbox, and MVP has been respectful as well. I haven't heard any like ruffling feathers between these two, which is kind of what would be appealing about this matchup. What do you think?
So Kevin Holland's minus 140, Michael Venom Page plus 110. Sorry for my, I forgot to look up an odd.
That's okay. All right.
I love me some Kevin Holland.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time putting money on him because it's sometimes seems like he puts making an entertaining fight over actually winning. Mm-hmm. He made that decision to stand with Wonder Boy.
Yeah. If he makes that decision here, he's going to sleep.
Well, yeah. And with Michael Venom Page being the underdog, and I was just looking at it's plus 475 for Venom Page to win by knockout. I think this is
Mr. Jackpots.
The Mr. Jackpots Matt the Mechanic pick of the week. Kevin Holland only been knocked out one time. And that was
See, and I might be totally off on this because I don't think I've ever watched Michael Venom Page fight I watched Bellator, but his fights seem to... Oh, the only thing I know about him is these brutal fucking things I see on Instagram from him. You know,
like when he caved in Cyborg's...
Yeah, I see that every once in a while. So I don't know if I have... I don't know, but... Plus 475 is nice.
He was also fighting in Bellator where the PED tests were multiple choice.
Yeah, I mean...
They were like, are you A, on steroids? B, and you should circle B, not on steroids?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe the reason why we're not seeing the jawing and stuff out of Holland this week is because he's taking this fight seriously.
That could be.
Oh, man.
But, you know, these are two guys who are known for their personalities, and we haven't seen much personality.
Yeah, they keep talking about how they're going to have a podcast in the fight, during the fight, which is, that's kind of funny.
Mark says, Holland will jump guard and KO MVP from his back. Yeah, that
was sweet, wasn't it? Jacare, right?
Yeah, when he KO'd Jacare from his back. That would be like wild.
After that fight is when we just started not... Holland stopped being so consistent. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's something odd about the guy. Right? Like, he's just odd.
Yeah. And he's awesome. He's like stopped a mass shooting and he's recovered a stolen vehicle. Like, he's definitely one of the best personalities we have in the UFC. It just doesn't seem like I don't know. I mean, he makes the fight. He seems concerned to make the fight entertaining, but we're trying to make money here.
Yeah. I mean, MVP as an underdog, I like it. And I see we have more people than usual on a live show. Feel free to jump in the comments, folks. Anyone? I mean, Mark always contributes, but anybody else wants to jump in here, we'll throw your comment up and have a little discussion about it. Co-main event, Dustin Poirier taking a big risk in taking this fight against the up-and-coming killer, Benoit Saint-Denis. And, man, this is a tough one because Poirier is coming off a loss, but he has a certain status in the UFC where he doesn't need to take a fight like this. I mean, Benoit Saint-Denis just broke into the top 15, and now he gets to get in there with one of the big dogs. Usually we don't see this kind of a jump, especially in the lightweight division, which is so stacked. But Saint-Denis coming off an impressive performance, unfortunately, against our buddy Matt the Steamroller Favola back in November. Before that, I mean, yeah, he's killing everybody, but the level of competition, the jump in the level of competition is pretty insane if you think about it. I mean, Favola was just kind of skirting that top 15. And Saint-Denis, you know, finished him in the first round, but he's leapfrogging over a lot of names here to get to this point. So it's a little strange how this fight came together in the first place. And then there was that whole thing where Poirier said the fight was off, but it was just a miscommunication with his management. I'm always concerned when guys take this much of a leap in competition, no matter how good they look. I mean, we just saw an example last week with Gazeev against Rozenstruik, where just the sheer experience was too much. All that being said, Benoit Saint-Denis is a killer. I mean, this guy...
An actual killer.
Yeah, this guy very well could be the real deal here. I keep going back and forth on this one. I know you have been too. What are the odds and who are you going with?
Have you seen the odds? Do you have any idea?
No, no clue.
So Dustin's a plus 170.
Okay.
I saw it at the beginning of the week. He was at plus 220. Now Saint Denis is a minus 220. Mm-hmm. You gotta start letting me go first. You just said everything I was about to say. some fight week drama. There is seemed to be some sort of infection on Saint-Denis' forehead. It kind of looks like staph. And he tonight he was at the press conference. He was wearing a hat, so you couldn't see it. I respect the hell out of Dustin. Dustin is a fucking underdog in this fight. Give me Dustin.
I mean, if I knew he was 220 at one point, I would put money on him then.
And it should be said that he's went back to his hair, the old days of his little like nice and tight haircut.
Oh yeah, the high skin fade.
Which makes me, you know, this. I think this fight is really Dustin going, you know what? I'm making money outside of this sport. Do I need to fight? How am I going to? The best way to figure this out is just to pick the dude that nobody wants to fight and let's go. You know.
Do you think that's what it was, or do you think he was backed in a corner?
I don't know. We don't know.
Because from the sound of it, when he was like, oh, I'm not doing this. And then it kind of seemed like somebody was in his ear like, oh, no, you're doing this.
I mean, the changes like the change of the haircut could mean that he's a little nervous about this one. I mean, I fucking would be. But I mean, or maybe this is, you know, the talk of retirement. Maybe this is the last fight and he's, you know, just got the bag. And I guess what do they say? You know, some of these guys like to go out on their shield. Well, this is that fight.
What bag though? Because he's fighting at his contracted pay.
I think there's bonuses and shit that can be tossed on.
You think they're paying him more to take a more dangerous fight? Because that's not how it works.
I mean, we don't know how it works.
I mean, that's not how it works. They're not going to be like, hey, we'll throw you a little extra to fight this killer.
I definitely think they do.
I don't know about that one.
Or, hey, we have this promotion available, or, you know, there's things that they could do.
I mean, Dustin Poirier still has so much star power. They could have put him in a main event.
Oh, he definitely could have been part of the UFC 300 main event.
No.
You don't think so?
No, not coming off a loss.
Well, yeah.
Because it has to be a title fight. You can't put him in there for the title.
Bill, you keep coming at it from an expert's point of view. I'm coming from as what makes the people that actually, you know, buy the pay-per-view.
We can't make matches like WWE here, though. No, you could have done Poirier and Michael Chandler as a main event of probably another pay-per-view, not 300. But that's a great fight because let's be realistic. The Conor fight's not happening for Chandler. And Poirier and Chandler had a little back and forth.
Yeah, that would have been good. Or, I mean, even Nate Diaz, that fight never happened.
Yeah, but Nate Diaz currently not under contract. There's not a whole lot else he could have done, actually, now that I'm looking at this. There's no appealing fights for anyone ranked below him. I mean, a rematch with Charles Oliveira, maybe, would have been more beneficial for Poirier. But, like, let's say Poirier comes in and smokes St. Denis. People are going to be like, oh, he just beat the number 12 guy. Big deal. Like, it seems like high risk, low reward.
Yeah, but the low reward is probably a very, very lucrative fight purse.
And
he knows, you know, he answered that question to himself.
As far as you and I know, though, he's making his contracted wage for this fight.
Which is still probably a good chunk of money.
Sure. All right. So who are you picking again?
I'm taking Dustin.
Right, because of the underdog money. Yeah, I wish I had known about the plus 220. I would have laid a few bucks down on Poirier. Do you think the odds swung because of the staph infection? You think that's why he's a smaller underdog?
I just think money. Not many people know about the staph infection.
People saw the 220 and they were laying money on Dustin. All right.
Well, the casual, the water cooler talk this week has been, you know, who do you think between O'Malley and Vera? And then who's this guy that Dustin's fighting? I mean, nobody knows who the hell he is.
Yeah. Well, we do.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do.
Unfortunately.
Man, I had to watch that head kick a couple times this week. And I'm like, dang.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to, unfortunately, it's going to be showing up in highlights. But you know what else is going to show up in highlights? The lateral drop that the steamroller hit on Saint Denis before that went down, which was beautiful, even though he got reversed when it hit the ground. But I love a good lateral drop. It's not something we see in the UFC very often. So
yeah, it's my favorite takedown.
It's such an awesome takedown. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Damn it. Now I just got to sit here drinking my Black Bush, being the only one that knows any wrestling on this show.
Hey, man, I got a good guard pull.
Which, by the way, I got like a funny threat on Instagram today. Some guy, put a comment on a takedown video I posted. And
oh, I saw this.
It's clearly like it's just a clip from a demonstration. And I put some, flashy effects on it, just kind of playing around. And the guy was like, oh, this is so stupid. The guy wasn't even resisting. I'm like, yeah, I know he's not resisting. And then this guy proceeded to tell me, like, oh, I would slam you and you would just be whimpering and crying for help. And I'm like, all right.
Is this the same guy that talked about the wizard? I saw the one that the guy's like, oh, this wouldn't work. I would, if someone knew how to wizard somebody.
No, different guy.
Oh, because yeah. I was like, well.
Yeah, you can't wizard against a body lock. It just doesn't, it wouldn't work.
Even I know that, Bill.
Well, I'm kind of glad that my Instagram posts are getting to the point where anonymous people are just hating on them for no reason. And people who clearly don't really train. I mean, that one guy was like a high school wrestler, I think, or something, but still wrong.
And these are real people. Then some of the other comments we got, they just seem to be bots or something. These are actual people. It's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get a lot of the send me this in DM so I can promote it. And then pay me $5 for 50,000 followers. I get that one a lot.
$5? That's not that bad.
I don't know. I don't know what the amount is, but I don't need any bot followers. I got real followers. We got eight people on a live stream right now.
Oh man,
I care more about those eight people than I would care about the 50,000 followers on Instagram that I would buy for $5. So there will be no buying of followers on the MMA on the Rocks podcast. I'll tell you that much, sir. In any case, main event. This is a rematch between the bantamweight champion Sean O'Malley and Marlon Chito Vera. Marlon Vera on paper has a TKO win over Sean O'Malley. And remind me, right after this, I want to segue into the PFL thing that I wanted to tell you about this. So in their first matchup, O'Malley injured his foot or his ankle.
No, Marlon Vera injured O'Malley's ankle.
All right. O'Malley's ankle or foot got injured. And couldn't continue. So TKO loss. O'Malley doesn't count it. He claims he's undefeated. So that's kind of why we have this matchup here, because they have that history. Because really, Vera really leapfrogged this division. He's ranked fifth. And you could have said Corey Sandhagen was more deserving, Aljamain Sterling was more deserving, and Merab Dvalishvili was more deserving of this title shot. But here we are. I have more thoughts on this, but I don't want to take away from what you're potentially going to say. So why don't you give me your
Okay.
Why don't you give me your build-up?
O'Malley is minus 275. Chito Vera is plus 210. My head tells me that Chito or Sugar is a much better fighter than he was the last time.
Sure.
They fought.
Mm-hmm.
Something also occurred to me today, and I verified it, is the last fight was in the Apex with no crowd in the middle of COVID.
Okay.
And I picked Sean O'Malley's knockout of Aljamain Sterling a moment of the year. I think Sugar seems to have that ability to feed off the crowd, put all the pressure, doesn't bother him, or he has an ability to just kind of not deal with it. But I also think Chito Vera is one bad motherfucker. The only clip I have today is of Chito at this press conference, so.
And lastly, I don't know if you've seen, but he's been beefing with Ryan Garcia. He's also, gone back and forth with Ilia Topuria. And he's also been saying that he doesn't count the first, his loss to you. So I just wanted to ask you, do you see him distracted? Do you feel like he's taking you lightly ahead of this fight?
I don't give two fucks about what he's doing, who he talks for. I focus about myself. I focus about my schedule, my training, my body, my mind, and whatever he's doing, I can give two fucks about him or his life.
There were some rumblings. I think Aljamain started that said that Cheetah's had a bad camp. I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, which I find weird. Why would Aljamain put that out there? Talking about the guy who's facing the guy who just beat him for the belt.
So I think I'm going to do another prop pick here. I actually haven't decided, so I'm going to wait and see what you say.
Okay.
Because if I just had to straight pick this fight, I'm going to take Sean. There's some bias there. I really feel like Sean has some superstar quality that he can really deal with some pressure. But go for it.
I'll take that statement and raise you. I think not only does he deal with pressure, I think he thrives on it. I think he's a guy that, there are some guys that when the lights shine the brightest, that's when they perform the best. I think Sean O'Malley is one of those guys. Then there's also the theory that when you win the championship, you get 30% better. And that's because of the confidence boost of being the champion. I think O'Malley has such a big ego, and I think this is going to boost it even more. I think he's going to be really dangerous in the beginning of this fight, especially because Chito Vera has always been the epitome of a slow starter. And typically when he loses fights, it's because he gets behind on the scorecard, and then he's in there with guys who can continue to pressure as the fight goes on. Corey Sandhagen is a great example. I don't think Sean O'Malley can do that to him. I think if Sean O'Malley can't finish him in the first 2.5 rounds, that Cheeto's going to be able to come back and grind Sean O'Malley out. I don't think O'Malley has the toolbox that fits the blueprint to beat Cheeto. And Cheeto's never been knocked out, but O'Malley is going to have to knock him out in the early rounds to win this fight. That's the way I see it.
So we're pretty far aligned. So we just got to start looking at prop bets here.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so
pull up the props and let's see where they're at.
The ones I wrote down is O'Malley to win by TKO takes it from a -275 to a +260.
Which is kind of crazy to me. And then does it vary by round?
Yeah. So if we switch it to O'Malley to win by knockout in round one, it's +900. Round two is +1,000. Round three is 1,300. So then if you switch over to Marlon Vera, we don't need to talk about submit. So Marlon Vera to win by decision takes it to +650. TKO is +475, and submissions +2,000. Which you don't see a submission happening here, right?
I don't see a submission either way.
No. So we're talking about decision or early O'Malley knockout.
I mean, Cheeto can knock out O'Malley as well, but it won't be till later rounds.
So Marlon Vera by knockout in four is +2,250.
Yeah, it would be It would be in four round or five.
Plus 2,500. And O'Malley's never been to any championship rounds, if I'm not. No, yeah. Has he?
No, he hasn't. And it, it
well, was it, it, wasn't that that fight where he beat the hell out of that guy? Wasn't that five rounds? It was a main event.
No, that was three rounds.
Oh.
That was that, the that guy, guy with the green hair.
Yeah.
So if you look at Chito Vera's recent finishes, he knocked out Dominic Cruz in the fourth round. He knocked out Frankie Edgar in the third. He knocked out Andre Ewell in the third. You have to go all the way back to 2019 to find a first round finish from Chito. So Chito just starts slow. I mean, I would bet like round two knockout for O'Malley or a round like four knockout for Chito.
I was just thinking the same thing. So let's do that. And so I only make the $6, you spend $6. I'm not going to place a bet on the Almeida versus Blades fight. That's they're both favorites.
Okay.
We're going to go a little crazy here, and we're going to do Marlon Vera KO round four.
Okay.
And O'Malley KO round two.
So you're hedging your bet here. Is this the first hedge in the 18 weeks we've been doing picks and pours?
Yep.
Guys, let me know in the comments if you like this bet. So, yeah, I mean, if you throw a couple of bucks on each of those, hey, why not? It's like throwing two chips on the roulette wheel.
Yeah, we need to, before we switch to, well, I don't know if you have anything else to say on that, this fight.
No, because I have a couple of other things I want to talk about. Because we just talked about the TKO, the freaky TKO victory in the first fight between Sean O'Malley and Chito Vera. So tonight on the PFL.
Tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, there was PFL tonight.
Oh, man.
So I think it was the main event. Baysangor Chamsudinov was awarded a TKO victory over Cedric Doumbé. I don't know if you know who Cedric Doumbé is.
Yeah, you remind me all now.
You listen to Joe Rogan a lot. Joe Rogan's really high on Cedric Doumbé. Very high-level kickboxer.
okay, yep.
Came over to the PFL. So this was so strange because Doumbé, like something happened to his foot. And both fighters kind of stopped engaging, and Doumbé motioned to Mark Goddard to look at his foot, and Mark Goddard told him to fight. And then they're both just kind of standing there, and Chamsudinov looks at Mark Goddard and says, he's not fighting. So Mark Goddard says to Doumbé, you got to fight, and Doumbé points at his foot again. Mark Goddard waves the fight off and says it's over. What seemed to happen was Doumbé had what looked like a metal splinter in his big toe on his left foot. That was the close-up that they showed. So like some foreign object got stuck in his foot. And I guess he was trying to ask Mark Goddard if he could take it out. And because he was not engaging, Mark Goddard stopped the fight. TKO victory for Chamsudinov. But it was just very weird how it happened because Chamsudinov was not engaging either. Like if Doumbé wasn't engaging, Chamsudinov could have pressed the action and TKO'd him. Instead, he hung back and said, hey, ref, this guy's not fighting. And when Mark Goddard told Doumbé to fight, Doumbé said, look at my foot. I got something stuck in it. And Mark Goddard said, the fight's over.
Yeah, this merger's not going well.
No.
I was just looking. I didn't know Big John's commentating for PFL now.
Well, yeah, because he came over with the merger.
Well, but it seems that Josh stuck with Bellator and John. I don't know. I might be getting late news. I didn't know that.
Oh, is Bellator still separate?
Yeah, Bellator is going to be doing.
They just merged the championships, didn't they?
No, it's still going to be separate. Bellator is going to be in anywhere not in the USA, and PFL is going to be in the USA.
But
so I guess Big John is like, I ain't fucking going anywhere.
I'm but haven't the they PFL. Intermingled the championships?
No.
So what happened between
the just Bellator, fighting.
The Bellator champions fought the PFL champions?
Oh, it was an exhibition.
Oh, get fucked. What is going on here? See, this is exactly
what I might be wrong. I might be wrong on this. Maybe
they weren't exhibitions. Those were fights.
Well, I don't know what's going on with those titles, but I know that most of all the Bellator fights are going to be abroad, as we like to say here.
So they're only doing women's fights now?
Yeah.
We got to get some dad humor in here. Another weird thing that happened in the PFL fight, it looked like two heavyweights, but this guy came out and he had his hands down and he looked like he was like drunk off a Robitussin or something. And he just got head kicked. Like he came out looking like this with his hands down and the other guy just head kicks him and knocks him out. So not a great look for the PFL. No. I'm hoping for Cedric Doumbé's sake that this decision gets overturned. It was very strange. And then Big John McCarthy got on defending Mark Goddard, saying he had to stop it because it was a self-inflicted TKO. It's like, it's not self-inflicted if there's like glass or metal in the ring and he steps on it and it's stuck in his foot. So as much respect as I have for Big John McCarthy, he's definitely wrong on this one. And I hope to see this TKO get overturned for Doumbé's case, but
yeah, what a weird, I mean, what the hell could that be?
Yeah, it was like people were saying it was just a splinter, but you could see it so clearly. It must have been like a piece of metal. Yeah, I don't know if it was a piece of the cage or something.
Like, you remind me many times that I'm a mechanic. I get metal splinters all the time. They hurt like hell. I had one this week and I mean, it hurt for days. So I can only imagine like you said, you could see it. That wasn't a splinter. That was a shard. Maybe it'll probably get overturned because it's in the heat of the moment. You don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. I want to see if I can pull up a picture and show it to you guys. But, in the meantime, I have a couple of other fights on this card that I wanted to talk about. I'm not going to be able to find the picture, but I'll post it on my Instagram story later in case you guys haven't seen it. It was weird, man. They showed a close-up of his toe, and it was like you can clearly see something stuck in it. So what's the rule on that? Like, they should be able to have a timeout and like, oh, let me pull this thing out of my foot. I stepped on something. That seems fair. Instead of just like taking a loss when he tries to bring it to the referee's attention. All right. In any case, a couple other fun fights here. Mataos Gamrot and RDA. This is another changing of the guard fight that I'm really interested in. Do you have the odds handy?
Yeah. You talk, I'll give you the odds.
So this is a weird one. Like RDA, who was a two-time champion, now fighting on the prelims. Granted, it's a huge card, but it's kind of weird to see him fighting on the prelims against Gamrot, who is definitely an up-and-coming challenger and has been in the conversation of the upper echelon of this totally stacked division for a while now. I want to find out exactly where he is.
The odds are Gamrot's a -450, RDA's +325.
God damn, they're really looking for a changing of the guard here. So Gamrot is ranked 6th, RDA is ranked 11th as of now. Man, RDA is such a legend, man. I hate to see him have to take a fight like this on the prelims. Pedro Munhoz and Kyler Phillips, I like that fight, but we don't need to get into it. Ivan Cucalaba and Felipe Lenz. I'm curious about the odds on this one?
Kutalabla's minus 130 versus plus 105.
Okay. So that's a pretty even fight. And one of the fights I'm most excited about on this whole card, Michel Pereira and Mikhail Olejanchik.
Piero minus 155. The other guy won plus 120.
Yeah. Two guys named Michael that both pronounce it differently. Michelle and Mikhail.
And Jake.
Yeah. That's about it. The only other fight I wanted to bring up, Caitlin Sermonara, formerly Caitlin Chookagian, is going to be getting in there with Macy Barber. She came out recently, and I saw this on my favorite MMA news site, Cage Side Press, reported on this. In the press conferences leading up to UFC 299, Caitlin revealed that she was taking so much time off because she went through three full cycles of IVF, which is in vitro fertilization. So she was basically taking hormone treatments to try and get pregnant. And all three times they did not succeed. And this is something that's incredibly taxing on the human body, incredibly expensive. And I know because I've gone through this in the New York area where she lives. I was actually living one town over from where she resides when I was going through this. It costs a lot of money, and it's so taxing on the human body that she said, I wanted to take a break from it by taking a cage fight. And that's a powerful statement. And, you know, she initially wanted to keep it private, but then was talking about it with friends and things and decided it feels better to just get it out in the open and talk about it. And it turns out a lot of people go through this and go through the frustrations of, you know, failed IVF. She unfortunately had two miscarriages throughout the process, which is something that can be not only draining on the body, but very emotionally draining for someone to have to go through. So now she's coming back and getting in there against a young killer, Macy Barber, who is basically in the same position that Caitlin was in, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when she was, you know, first making her debut in the UFC. So any thoughts on that?
On what? IVF or the fight?
Yeah, just the fact that she's gone through all that and now she's coming back and she's taking a break from IVF by taking a cage fight.
Well, I mean, I think any woman that fights or wants to have a kid are all badasses. I couldn't imagine trying to do that, especially now that treatment is now in politics. It's a thing we're debating again, even though it was started in the 1930s, I think, but just like exhibition boxing. But I don't know. I don't have kids. I can't say much about the treatment. The name switch is interesting to me because I guess I never sat and thought about it, but that would be hard because you're known as Caitlin Chookagian, but
not that well known, I guess.
No. Oh, that's a weird name, but I could maybe see where you'd like, if you hold traditional values, you would want to take your husband's name, you know, and she seems like she's trying to build a family but you're kind of known off that last name. I mean, before I saw all the press conferences and stuff, I didn't know who the hell Macy Barber's fighting, and I know who she is. That's a weird, a weird problem. But props to her for everything she's going through. I don't think it's going to go well. It seems like Macy's found a second wind in the UFC. She ran through some trouble, but I don't know. Her striking's looking really nice.
Yeah, she has been looking good. Well, Caitlin, I guess Sermonara is what we're going with now, her husband.
Man, not easy either. What the hell?
It's like, we'll get it. After I hear John Anik say it once, I usually have it.
So he should. Up in the old, they didn't do that thing as pronunciation of the week. They should have done that.
Oh yeah, that would have been a good one. That would have. That,
I mean, no one's heard that word before.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we didn't update the year to date total.
Oh, we didn't.
No.
Before we do that, let me just say, I don't think I've ever talked about this on here, but my daughter is actually a product of IVF. So I have gone through this process many times, more so my wife has gone through it many times. So I know what she was talking about when she was saying it's so physically taxing. It involves daily injections for many weeks in a row. And, you know, when she was getting emotional about it, I was like, fuck, I know exactly, you know, we went through a couple of bouts of IVF that were not successful. And I know exactly what she had to go through. And the fact that she was saying, like, I'm taking a cage fight to take a break from this shit, like that hit. And I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people. So yeah, I guess I'll just end it by saying, Caitlin, you have an open invitation to come on MMA on the Rocks, and you know, we can talk about this and how it incorporates with MMA, because I think it would be an interesting discussion. One other person with a name change that's on this card is Joanne Wood, formerly Joanne Calderwood, which is quite possibly more confusing, even though it's easier to say.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, oh, what are the odds you end up marrying somebody who has like part of your current last name?
Well, that depends on where you're at. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
If I'm I have no idea where this lady's from, but I have
she's
an idea.
From Scotland, I believe.
Okay, then I never mind.
All right. What was the other thing we had to get to?
We have to update. We took a beating last week.
Okay, so
hold on. Segue. IBF is great because at least we have your daughter Ariana. So that should be the end of that discussion, because she should know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, possibly.
Yeah, she needs to come to Florida to do it, because that's where I had success with it. Shout out to Dr. Yeko in Tampa, who helped me out greatly.
Shout out to Dr. Yeko. All right, we took a beating. We lost $3.50. One of those dollars is your fault. But if I would have took your advice, it would have just flip-flopped, and I still would have lost the same amount. So we'll take that as a wash. We did have an injection in funds. We are actually up $116.
Hell yeah.
Do you think we can say where that came from? Because we're using it for betting. It came from, I won a contest for Once Upon a Coconut.com.
There you go.
And if I've actually had this product, and I highly recommend it if you like coconut water and energy drinks. It's good stuff. So we're up 116 for the year.
I actually plan to reach out to them, because I have a good idea for a cocktail to do with their product.
Oh, I've bought. I mean, we have there's a weird connection, but I buy from them even when there's not a promotion going on. I love that energy drink. It's nice.
Is it an energy drink or is it just coconut water?
You can get either or.
Oh, okay.
It's just the same. You can get one with pineapple, or you can get one with caffeine. It's great stuff. Yeah, you could definitely make a mean, I don't know, something with rum sounds great with that.
I would do a pina colada. I would call it Once Upon a Colada.
Yeah, Once Upon a Colada. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we need to make that happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll reach out to them this week. All right. So you want a contest for them, and that's going to become, we'll say we're playing with house money.
Yeah, house money.
All right.
We're still, the rules still apply. you know, dollar bets. Mm-hmm. But we just got a bit of a cushion now.
I like it. I like the cushion. The bigger the cushion, the sweeter the pushing, as they say.
That's what they say in the South.
I think they say it other places too. Maybe Alaska. All right. If you guys want to get some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, reaper1.co is the website. I'll put the direct links in the show notes as always. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Grab yourself an over the top, under the influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. I know for a lot of you, it's not hoodie season anymore. It's damn near 90 degrees here in Florida. So grab yourself a tank top. It's almost beach season here. I guess that's about it. Anything else you want to get off your chest, Matt?
It's a lie from Satan, brother.
That's got to be my favorite sound bite.
I had to get it in.
All right.
Everybody enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you back next week for some fight night that we don't know what the hell it is yet.
Yeah, maybe some more Black Bush, which, by the way, I forgot to mention earlier, I'm going to be giving my, since with St. Patrick's Day coming up, I'm going to be doing a video with my recommendations for Irish whiskeys in every price point. So if you guys are interested in trying some new Irish whiskeys that are a little bit off the cuff, like some Bushmills Black Bush, that video will be coming your way shortly. Until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.